Amen. It's good to see everybody tonight. Amen. The song said, no mountain, I'll change it, can move me. The power is within us. The devil can't stop us. Sickness can't stop us. Problems can't stop us. Death can't stop us. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, the Bible says. Amen. Jesus is a powerful Savior. He can move mountains. He can make mountains. He can demolish mountains. He can change. He can save. He can heal. He can do anything that needs to be done. Amen. Are you glad tonight that you're saved? Are you glad that you're sitting here tonight in your... I preached a funeral this weekend of my brother, and I said, I'm in my right mind. And the ones that think I'm crazy, I said, you're the ones crazy. I'm in my right mind because I know Jesus. Amen. He's changed everything. Amen. The world is nuts. Those lost without God, they're crazy. They're nuts. But we tonight are in our right mind. We're like that man that was demon-possessed. We're sitting clothed in our right minds, following Jesus, amen. And the world thinks we're crazy, but we know they're crazy. Amen. We know because we've been on that side of the fence, amen. So when you've been there and you've come out of it, then you know. Amen. It's good to be in church tonight. I want to say thank you for everybody that's been praying for us. Of course, I hadn't been here the last three services. I got sick late Tuesday night. It's funny, Melissa told me about Levi, what he said. You were talking about giving us some medicine. He said, I don't need medicine, I need prayer. I died laughing. I thought, that's good. The day before I got sick, we both were feeling something coming on. I said, man, I feel like my body is trying to fight something off. And we were feeling it, and she was in her bedroom, and I heard her go, oh! I said, what's wrong? My stomach's cramping. I said, okay, devil. And so I sat there for a minute, and I felt like the Lord prompted me, and I got up, and I walked into her room. I said, you need me to pray for you? She said, yes. I walked over, and I laid my hands on her, and I prayed for her, and I tell you, I felt the Spirit of God come on me. I felt faith. And the Lord touched her, and her stomach stopped hurting immediately, and she never got sick. And the next day, I got it. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the Lord moved. He did. And she told me, man, later, she said, man, it stopped. I said, praise the Lord. That's the power of God. The Lord can do it. Amen. And so I'm glad he does that. You know, he still does it for us. I wish he'd done it for me, but it's all right. I'm glad he did it for her. But, I mean, that stuff was awful, man. Some of you, I know you've had it, and I know Levi went through some of that, and others, they said it's been going around a lot. But it was some pretty bad stuff, and it just took me down and weakened me and everything, so I really couldn't do anything except stay home in the bed and go to the bathroom and throw up and the other stuff, you know. But thank the Lord it got out just in time for me to go preach my brother's funeral. I said, something good is about to happen. I just know that something is about to take place. And, I mean, we made it Sunday, went over there. I was still tired and weak and everything, but the Lord gave me the power. He touched me Monday to preach the funeral. And, the Spirit of God, I know I was shaking in my shoes, nervous, before I came out behind that partition to preach. I was so nervous. You couldn't believe how nervous a preacher was. And I was so nervous because it's just, I don't know, I just can't explain it. But when I got up there behind that podium and the Spirit of God hit me, fell on me, everything was gone. And I preached my brother's funeral, and I mean, the Spirit of God moved. I wasn't running, shouting, screaming, didn't have to. The Holy Ghost had people's attention and prayed for people at the end to get saved. One man slipped his hand up to give his life to the Lord. And that's right, if it's just one. But not only that, but there were so many people who came through that funeral home, many, many people, and there was not even half of them there at the funeral. People went to work and stuff, I know, but they live streamed it through Facebook so that a lot of people can see that and they can watch that service. I thought, well, you know, there's going to be more people touched than just in that funeral home there. because my brother's son was laying in the hospital bed, unable to go anywhere, and he wanted to be at his daddy's funeral, but he couldn't. So that's why they live streamed it, so he could watch it. And so they got blessed, and he was able to watch it. And so we just pray that it'll reach more people outside the doors of a funeral home. If you hadn't got to watch it, maybe if you're on Facebook, I hope you can. We shared it on our Facebook pages, and I believe it was the Lord. And the Lord just kept giving me confirmation about my brother's funeral. There was a spirit of peace there. Yeah, have you ever been to a funeral where somebody didn't know the Lord? I have. It's not peace. It's not peaceful. Well, there was the peace of God was there. And, of course, people were hurt and upset, and everything I could to hold it together. It's my brother, but the Lord helped me to be able to do it and got us through it and got us back home, and we couldn't wait to get back to our beds. Ain't no bed like my bed. Ain't no bed like your bed, is it? Ain't no place like home. But thank God we're back, and so we're recovering from everything, pressing on. Pray for my nephew. He's still in the hospital, but you want to talk about a miracle. My brother and his son both were laying in the hospital nearly dead together. And my nephew was just about gone. I mean, almost gone. And the Lord touched him and raised him up. He's still at the hospital, but he's awake. He's, you know, he's conscious. He's talking. He's talking on the phone. He knows who people are. And he was nearly gone one night, and the next day everything began to turn around, and he's still here. And, you know, I'm going to tell this, but I'm going to use it later on in a testimony sometime if the Lord lays it on my heart. My nephew, we went by to see him at the hospital Monday morning before we went to the funeral home to pray for him. And he said, before we were leaving, he said, if anybody's got any questions about my daddy, where he went, he said, listen, he said, me and daddy was laying in this hospital room together. They brought us together to be able to see one another. He said, I took daddy by the hand and said, daddy, I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want you to go to hell either, daddy. Daddy, will you pray with me for us to get right with God and get right with Jesus? And he took his daddy by the hand, and they prayed together in that hospital. I got a picture of them in the room. It'll blow you away. And I believe he was already saved before then. But, you know, confirmation, just Lord. And he told me and Melissa Michaela, we lost it in the hospital. We were crying when he was telling me that story, because it was like the Lord was just saying, now you go on and preach that funeral, and you tell them what I tell you to say, and you give the testimony, and you just leave everything with me. And I believe that my brother made it to heaven because he got right with God. Amen. At the might have been the last hours, last minutes, last days. I don't know. But I know that he got right with the Lord. Amen. And people in that funeral home were touched. But pray for my nephew that the Lord will touch him, that he'll raise him up, get him out of that hospital room. Amen. Make a testimony out of him. It's already a miracle, amen, at what the Lord has done. So thank you for everybody that's praying. Continue to pray. His name is Tommy, if you want to know his name. The Lord knows his name. So pray for him if you can when you think about it. And let's believe for God to do a great thing in their lives, amen. There's people in my family now I hadn't seen in years. And it takes a funeral to bring you around people and for God to do things. And people just, you know, they hadn't seen in a long time. Somebody didn't really even know. And now the Lord is bringing them around. They're getting in contact with us. They're watching this stuff here. You see, God's doing something. He's going to move. He's going to let people know where the truth is. Amen. They heard the truth in that funeral home. Amen. They heard the truth. And God is going to be glorified through it even in the days to come. We're going to take up the offering tonight. Thank you for those that are helping us, those of you watching, and thank you for all that you're doing, those that helped out here while we're gone, those that preach, those that help do everything you do. Thank you. We need the help. We appreciate the help, and God knows that we need it, and we need more of it, amen, because there's great things to be done in the days ahead. Not time to slack. It's time to move forward, amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you for the power of your spirit. We ask you that you have your way tonight. We ask that you would move, Lord, throughout this service tonight, that you would begin to do things in people's hearts and in their lives, people watching tonight through the internet, those that are heartbroken, Lord, those that are downtrodden, those that are depressed, oppressed. Lord, I pray that you would move upon them, God, that you would set them free, Lord, that you would turn things around in their life. Those that are sick, God, bring healing to their bodies. And Lord, we know that you're able to do it, and we believe that you're going to do it. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The sun was darkened and the heavens thundered. And for a moment death had thought it conquered. But it wasn't over till you said it's over. Your power is stronger still. The perfect sacrifice, your body broken, as you restore to us what sin had stolen. Once and for all, you tore the veil wide open. Your word is greater still. And all praise to the name above all names, Jesus, you reign, 'cause you're the name above all names. You turn the grave into a new beginning. Our God is risen, he's alive and breathing. There's nothing that can rise against your victory. Your name is higher still. All praise to the name above all names, Jesus, you reign, 'cause you're the name above all names. The cross still stands, the blood still flows, the work is finished, and hell still knows that the grave is still empty, the stone is still rolled. And you're still high and lifted up. You're still seated on the throne. The cross still stands. The blood still flows. And the work is finished. And hell still knows that the grave is still empty. The stone is still rolled. And you're still high and lifted up. You're still seated on the throne. All praise to the name above all names. Jesus, you reign, 'cause you're the name above all names. The cross still stands. The blood still flows, the work is finished, and hell still knows that the grave is still empty, the stone is still rolled, you're still high and lifted up, you're still seated on the throne, the cross still stands, and the blood still flows. And the work is finished, and hell still knows that the grave is still empty, the stone is still rolled, you're still high and lifted up, you're still seated on the throne. All praise to the name above all names, Jesus. You're the name above all names, Jesus. 'cause you're the name above all names.
Still knows. I like that part. The devil knows it. Yeah, I tell you what, that's a powerful song. Talk about bringing the glory down. That's it, the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I don't even know if I've heard that before. That's an anointed song, Anna Kate. Praise the Lord. You must have had that on your heart when you come to church, huh? She was ready. Praise the Lord. We're going to go back to Colossians chapter 3 tonight. Been a few weeks since we've been there. You know, my wife has preached the last three services, and man, she did a good job, didn't she? I watched some of them, and they were good. I said, man, you on a roll. I'm going to give you three more. No, you ain't. You healed up. You get back at it, boy. She did, though. Man, she did a good job. Praise the Lord. Colossians, I knew she had it in her. She's just hiding it. Colossians chapter 3. I better stop in case I need her again. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 is where I'll start reading at. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Boy, if we all took heed to that one verse, how much better would our lives be? How much healthier would the church be? If we all did everything we did as unto the Lord. In other words, the Lord is the focus of our lives. And whatever we do, we know he's with us. He's involved. What does he hear from us on the job? What does he hear from us at home? What does he hear from us? Is it complaining? Is it murmuring? Is it, I don't like this, I hate this? Or is it, I do what I do as unto the Lord, and I take the bad with the good, and I surrender it to the Lord. Amen. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Let's stop there and pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, for your blessing tonight upon your word. We ask you for your anointing. We ask you for your strength. God, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for these people tonight that are here. And Lord, I pray that you bless them. I pray that you move for them, that you work for them, that you do things for them. Lord, I pray that you open your word to us tonight, God, that you would help us to understand it to a greater degree, God, that when we leave here tonight, that we can know that we have had something implanted on the inside of us that will mature us more, that will grow us more, that will develop us more and help us to be changed in a greater way. Lord, we want to be more like you and less like this world. Help us tonight to surrender our issues, to surrender our problems, to let go, to give up, and to let Jesus take over and put every single issue into your hand tonight, Lord, and to give it to you because you are in control. Lord, we know you've got good things in store for us. You have good things in store for this church. You have good things in store for the body of Christ. And we thank you tonight that we are going to see it come to pass in this lifetime while we're here, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm getting down to the end of Colossians, down to the end of the book, really. Chapter 4 is going to be the last chapter. I don't know if we'll go all the way through the end of all the way to the closing and the things Paul mentions, people he mentions, and names and stuff like that. But I want to get through the issues that he's dealing with, at least the church issues, I guess you might say, because that's really what it was. And when he wrote this epistle here, he wrote it in an effort to correct a lot of false doctrine and to also to bring these believers in line with the truth of God's word. You know, the church today needs to be brought in line with the truth of God's word. Because, I mean, we're off here, we're off there, we're in left field, right field. The church is scatterbrained today. If you just get around enough Christians and listen to their thoughts, listen to their ideas, listen to their understanding of Scripture, you'd be shocked, you'd be amazed to see that people don't really know the Word. They really don't understand what this is all about, and mainly it's because of false teaching. Because when you're preaching anything other than the gospel, the cross of Jesus Christ, that you leave it open for people. You just leave it open for speculation. You know, there's a lot of people these days that's been doing it for years. They'll branch off in a home or go here, go there, say, I'm going to start a Bible study. We're going to start a Bible study in our home. And people come out more confused than they learn anything. Because the ones that are supposed to be running it, they don't even understand the word themselves. The doctrine is not right. And if the cross of Jesus Christ is not the foundation of our very soul, that song you sang, that was powerful. The blood still saves. It's the cross. It's the power of God. It opens the door to everything else in the Word of God. It opens our understanding of the Scripture. Maybe this is why so many people, they're not as mature as they should be, because the foundation is not what it's supposed to be, so they can't grow like they're supposed to grow. And when Paul wrote this, when he began to lay out the issues, to talk about the issues, he began to bring the people, the church's attention back to the fact that it is all about Jesus. He said, Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. He is before all things. And because of him, everything else consists, everything else exists because of him. He is what this is all about. And he says these things to try to get the church's attention back to put it on Jesus Christ and what he's done, and get it off of self, get it off of who I am, get it off of what I do, get it off of what my title is, get it off of the wrong thing and get it back on the right thing. And he lays out and he says many, many things, but he makes sure that the church understands that it's because of Jesus Christ that we are everything we are. I'm going to just read just a little bit of it real quick anyway. You already heard it, those that have been here, but he said this, it brings fruit. This gospel brings fruit in us, and it should, and it has since the day that we heard of it and we knew the grace of God in truth. He went on to say this, that here's what it does, that we can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. There it is. We can increase in the knowledge of God. He says we're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. He said we have redemption through Jesus, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, he's going to talk about sins. You see, good preachers talk about sins. Good preachers talk about the blood. Good preachers remind people of what their real problem is. It's sin. And he said he's the image of the invisible. Who is the image of the invisible God? He's the firstborn of every creature. It says, for by him were all things created, because of Jesus, by him, that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. It said he is before all things. Jesus is before all things. And by him all things consist.
here's something else about him. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of the body. We're the little ones. He's the big one. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's kind of saying, hey, it's all about Jesus. And he said, it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. And because of this, listen, he, having made peace through the blood of his cross, there's where our peace comes from. Sanctifying peace, justifying peace, to reconcile all things unto himself. You and I, who were sometimes alienated and enemies by wicked works in your mind, yet now how has he reconciled, a little tongue tied, I ain't preached a little bit, I need to preach a little more, don't I? In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, oh here we go, holiness. Why did he die on the cross? To present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Then he would go on in chapter 2 to begin to deal with false teaching. And he would explain to them about the worshiping of angels. We don't worship angels. We don't worship anything other. You know, it's funny, it's come to my mind. We were at that hospital visiting my nephew three or four weeks back before all this stuff took place here, and went to pray for him. And it's a St. Thomas Hospital in Murfreesboro, Rutherford. It's a Catholic hospital, big hospital, good hospital. And it's when he went south and they thought he was going to die. And I was asking the Lord, do I need to leave? Do I go? And I prayed for him. And the Lord spoke to me that night to go. I thought he was going to be dead before I got there. And I said, Lord, will you keep him alive till I get there? And the Spirit of God came on me strong. And I felt the Lord say, go. And I knew then he's going to be alive when I get there. And sure enough, he was. And the next day, we were in there, and some family were all in there, and we were talking and everything, and his son and a few others asked me, he said, let's go downstairs and go to the chapel down here, and let's just go in there and pray. I said, okay. So we walked into the chapel. I'm not thinking about anything, you know, just little room and everything. We're sitting there, we're talking, we're trying to pray about some thing, that the issues and everything. And a couple of guys walked in, and I noticed one walked in, and he walks over to the side like this right here, and he went like this. He just went like this right here. And I thought, what's he doing? And I looked over, and this happened to be a little statue of Mary. Then I started looking at the surroundings, and on the wall there was a couple of pictures of the popes. Oh, I said, oh, I know what this is about. And another one came in, same thing. And I thought, you see that right there? There's your idol worship. The Bible says you don't bow down to no other gods. You don't make yourself graven images. You worship the Lord your God and him only. Jesus is the only one that we worship. He's the only one that we bow down to. And people, it's amazing, people want to, and you know, they worship things they can see. We worship a God we can't see, but we know he's real, and we can feel him. You ain't going to feel nothing from Mary, a statue. You ain't going to feel nothing from bowing to a picture of a pope. You ain't going to feel anything. But brother, you let Jesus come into your heart. You let the Holy Ghost invade your life, and you're going to feel it then. Me and my nephew, I kind of giggled, looked at him, you know, and I said, yeah, that's the problem is Catholicism, Catholics, worshiping the wrong stuff. Just a perfect example of people worshiping the wrong thing. So you can't tell me that people don't worship Mary, Catholics don't worship Mary. Yes, they do. You can't tell me they don't worship the Pope. Yes, they do. And they're not God. Jesus Christ is God. He is Lord. And when Paul wrote this, he was correcting these things because people were getting off track. These false teachers had come into the church. They were called Gnostics. And they claimed that they had this higher revelation of the things of God. And you know, you ordinary Christians that go to church and sit on a pew. That's why the Catholic Church kept the Bible from the parishioners all those years. They hide the word of God from the people. They want the people to trust in them. I don't want you to trust in me. I want you to read your Bible. I don't want to hide nothing from you. Here it is. Everything you need to know, it's in there. Everything that God wants to do, look in you, it's here. And we're here to encourage you to do that, not to discourage you from doing it, not to tell you, well, you don't question me. You listen to what I tell you, and you don't have to read your Bible. Anybody that ever tells you anything like that, run for the door. Get out. Because it's a controlling spirit. And it's of the devil. And when he wrote to correct this stuff. We don't worship angels. You don't set your affection on the things of this earth. You don't deny yourself of sweet tea and sugar and think you're holy. You don't deny yourself of eating pork and think you're going to get closer to God. You don't deny yourself of these earthly things thinking it's going to draw you closer to God, because it won't. I'm going to say this again. I said it not long ago. You can throw your television out. You can throw your telephone away. You can throw your iPad out, and you can be as self-righteous as a devil. And some of that stuff needs to go too with some people. It does. But you can throw all that stuff out and you can be self-righteous. You can be a Pharisee. You can pray. You can lift your hands. You can look good in front of people in church. But listen, if you don't make Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross the object of your faith, all you'll become is self-righteous. That's what this stuff does. It produces self-righteousness in God's people. Then that's why we got the bickering in the church. That's why we got jealousy. That's why we've got envy. That's why we've got this, well, who's preaching? Who's doing this? And who's doing that? Because if my favorite ain't, I ain't going back. That's where all this stuff comes from. We got our eyes off of Jesus. Putting our faith in the wrong thing. We get off track. We start living in the flesh. We start acting like the world. And sometimes even the world laughs at us. And Paul wrote this to correct that stuff and to tell them, look, you need to come back to Jesus Christ. Remember when he opened the book in the beginning, when he wrote to them, he said, I thank God that the faith that I've heard of, I've heard of your faith, that you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, and I'm happy about that. Because look, that's where our life starts. You've got to start there, but if you want to go on to grow, to mature, to see God enhance your relationship with him, grow you in the spirit realm, learn the word greater, you must have the cross as the foundation of your faith, because it's from there that everything else comes, and you have to keep your faith there every single day. Every day. You see, if we don't, then by default, we will put our trust in something else. We'll go in the wrong direction. This is what keeps us in line. Let me tell you, when you understand the message of the cross and you believe it, you don't have to ask yourself every day, is my faith right? You're going to know. I don't ask myself every day, is my faith right? Is my faith in the cross, God? I don't do that. It's there. It's resting. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that chapter 2, verse 1, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men. It shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but it should be in the power of God. And there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, is my faith right? Lord, help me to keep my faith right. But I don't every single day, Lord, is my faith in the cross? I don't really know. No, you should know where your faith is. There shouldn't be any wishy-washiness about it. You should know it's in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. And it's there every day. Every day you start your day. Lord, today I deny myself. I can't live this life on my own. It's just an admission that I can't, but you can. I look to Jesus. I look to you for my help today. Lord, I need wisdom. I need knowledge. I need some patience. I need some help on my job. I need some help with my kids. I need some help at Walmart. I need some help driving down the road. I need some help driving to Nashville. Don't we all? Everybody's been to Nashville lately. I don't like going over there. Especially Murfreesboro, my hometown. I get turned around in places now. I don't even hardly know where some of the roads go to. It's grown so much. Man, this is the laid back life over here. I mean, we got, a few stoplights down right here in Athens. I'll take that any day than to drive back to Middle Tennessee. And people are nuts. People are crazy. Half people can't drive. I don't know how many, does people not realize that you can still turn right on a red light in America? My Lord, I've seen so many people sitting at red lights, waiting and sitting up thinking, don't you know this is America? You can turn right. I ain't claiming to be the best driver in the world, but you know, there's some things that are just obvious. You need help on the highway. You need help at the hospital. You need help at the funeral home. You need the Holy Ghost. You need power. You need wisdom. I had a few people tell me at that funeral home after that, they come up to commend me and to thank me, and some hug me and said, I want to tell you, I was praying for you. Because I said, I thank God you were, because I could feel some walls. They said, oh, I did too. But the word was spoken and people needed to hear it. And it was. But I'm telling you, I was a nervous wreck, as I already said. Before I come out there, I said, Lord, I can't do this. You got to help me. I need some power. You got to give me every single word, Lord. I can't do this. I need help. And I'm going to tell you, when you come to that place, when we come to that place as ministers, Lord, I can't do this. Every time you step up here to preach, you preach. That's the attitude. That's all you got. That's the attitude you got to have. That's it. Lord, I can't do this. I don't have what it takes to prepare a message and tell everybody exactly what they need. Lord, you got what I need. You got an anointing and you've got the wisdom. You can give me the help. You speak through me, Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, you can read 10,000 notes. And there's nothing wrong with notes. I'm not knocking that. But listen, learning how to depend on the Holy Ghost is much better than 10 pages of notes. Learning how to depend and say, look, and it's a part of growing in the Lord. You know, one of the first times I ever preached, and I ain't kidding you, I probably still got the notebook in there. I had 12 pages of notes on both sides of the paper. And this is the way I stood behind the pulpit. Can y'all imagine me like this? A whole service. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Let me go back to where I used to talk. Shall we continue in sin? That grace my man, boy, my wife's done a lot of correcting in me. And I look back now and I think, but I mean, look, you got to start somewhere. Everybody's got, I'm not knocking that. But I look back and I can remember some of the times when I was doing that and I was so froze up. I couldn't move. I was depending on what I wrote on the paper. But you know what? Somewhere down the road, I don't know when it happened, the Holy Ghost started doing some stuff in me, and I started backing up more from the paper, brother, and something started happening. What notes did John the Baptist preach with? What notes did those prophets preach with? I'm not knocking notes. I'm not. I write them down sometimes. I do. I write stuff down. And sometimes I write stuff down and print off scriptures and I never look at any of it. I never even read it. And other times I do. Everybody's different, but let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is the same. Learning how to depend on Him, yield to Him. Lord, I can't do this. I need You to help me to minister. I need You to help me to witness. I need You to help me at work. I need You to help me with my kids. Right, families? Right, mom and dad? Grandparents now? We need help. The world is sinking around us. It's in darkness. And we're here we are, man, tonight. We're on a Wednesday night. Half the world think we're nuts. But again, we're in our right mind. We know where we're going. We know what we believe. We're stable. We ain't crazy. We're not drunks. We're not messed up. We're not drug addicts. We're not alcoholics. We got it together because Jesus has changed our lives. And God says, I want to use people like this. I just want people to depend on me. I just want people to surrender to me. And don't worry, if you got a problem surrendering, He's got ways of helping you to get there. I heard something my wife said the other day in one of her messages about me being at home being sick. Lord touched me. I'm going to tell you, boy, some stuff she said, the Spirit of God hit me. I was sitting there crying. Boy, it touched me. I was getting blessed. She said, maybe, I don't know why things happen the way they do. None of us do. She said, why Thomas is, he's sick like this, he's weak, and he's, you know, and we got a funeral coming up, and it could be that maybe God is just doing something in him for this funeral or something like that. And I truly believe that is a part of the reason why God let that happen. Because I was so weakened, I couldn't do anything. I was even wondering if I was even going to make it to a funeral. I thought I was going to be having my own. No, I didn't think I was going that far, but I felt bad. But you see, the Lord, he lets things happen to weaken us, to teach you, you can't do this on your own. That's a lesson we all have to learn. But see, we're supposed to know that daily. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 9? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And he went on to say words of this effect, everyone who will do this will find out what life is about. But for those who refuse to do it, they'll lose their lives. This message of the cross, church, is real. It's important. Don't ever let the devil make you think, well, here they go talking about that again. Don't let that stuff get into your mind, because I know Satan tries it. Well, that's all they seem to talk about. No, look, this is life. This message, I'm telling you, it brings a change in your life. It brings the power of God. This is what we need to help get us through the things that we go through. Because this is where we find our strength at. And you see, Satan, he's wise, he's crafty. He knows if he can get us away from that, we begin to lose. We lose our joy. We lose our peace. We lose our victory over sin. We lose our sanity. We lose. But even if you're watching tonight and you've lost, here's your word. Come back to Jesus. Come back to the cross. Come back where you started. There are people, I mean, I'll even look at some people in my own family, and I know it's hard. My niece, her brother and her daddy both in the hospital. Her daddy's now dead. Her brother's laying in the hospital in this condition. And I feel for her. I've been praying for her. Because when I seen her, you can tell it's taken a toll on her. And she needs God's help. I can tell. You can tell by looking at people's countenance. And I found myself praying for her. I said, Lord, you touch her. She's doing everything she can to help her brother, help her daddy, help family members. She's wearing herself out, Lord. Touch her, God. Help her. Give her peace. Touch her family. This right here, my friend, is what will do it. The truth of the gospel. It brings strength in time of weakness. I want to skip ahead again right now, go on to chapter 3 again and go back where we started. I want to deal with some of the things that we began with. The Bible said in verse 22, Paul said this, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Servants. Now you might say, well, I'm not a servant. Well, yes, you are. It's really referring to slaves. Because, and we know that slaves of those days are not like the slavery that we experienced in this nation when we did in the 1800s. This slavery was more of a willingness in this day and time. People weren't chained up and beaten and made to serve and stuff like that. Or there wasn't racial prejudice. There may have been some here and there, but for the most part, these people who were slaves, many of them, they chose to be slaves. They were not so well off financially. They didn't have very much, so it would be a lot better for them to connect with a slave master, go to work for them, make a decent living. You know what? Today, there's a spiritual truth there. We today, if you're watching and you don't have it so good spiritually, I know a master you can connect with. His name is Jesus, and boy, he'll treat you good. He'll give you everything you need. He'll meet your needs, supply your needs, save your soul, change your life, turn your whole world around, and provide for. And let me tell you something, when you meet him, you don't want to leave him. He's a master that you never want to let go of. You want to stay in his house all the days of your life. But when they became slaves, many of them, they chose to do it. But you know, some of them, they had masters, the slave master, if you want to call them that, they weren't always so nice. All of them were not saved. Some of them were. The Bible bears that out. But some were saved, some were not. But what is Paul saying here? To the servants here, the servants were the ones who were the slaves to the masters. He said, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. We could look at it this way in our day and time. You have a boss. You have a job, right? You're an employee of an employer. You work for somebody. You have a job. You make a living doing what you do. So in a sense, you're a servant to your master. You're a servant to Whirlpool. You're a servant to, what's the name of it? Let's say the government. Human services. You're a servant to Discovery Island. I should have known that. I passed by it yesterday. You're a servant to somebody. You work for somebody. So what does that mean? It means you have somebody over you. You have somebody that has to tell you what to do. Thank you, choir. Now it's fixing to get real good. Because here's our problem. We don't like nobody to tell us what to do. You don't sit there and look like that. When you was born, you didn't want mom and daddy telling you what to do. Unless it was something good you know, you were in agreement with. You liked it, but when it's not in your favor. Clean your room, I heard Melissa the other night. That ain't in my favor. Clean your room and I'll give you $10. Oh, I'll clean it right now. You didn't get paid to clean nothing when I was a kid. Wasn't no allowance. It's you do it. It's your responsibility. Now, my daddy didn't enforce that too much with us two little heathen boys, but boy, when mama took over, when mama got custody, look out. Things start changing. You talk about two of the worst mannered kids you ever seen in your life. You would not have, none of you would wanted me and my little brother. All the devil tried to destroy us from the get-go, I'm telling you. With everything you can think of, rebellion. Just all kind of stuff. I'll never forget when my mom one time, I was 13, 14 years old, maybe 15. My brother was 12. And as I said, the seed were already sown the way we had been raised up to this point before she got custody. We were wild. And she had her hands full. I remember my stepdad's mom and dad, we were going to visit them one time. They lived in Michigan. And they were kind of uppity-up people, northerners, highly educated. His daddy was anyway. And proper. And we were sitting before that. My mother said, when we were on our way there, just before we got there, said, listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. You're going to use some manners here. When we go in to sit down and eat, you're going to say, before you get up and leave the table, you're going to say, may I get up and leave the table? And I'm cringing inside. Ain't easy. And you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. And I'm thinking, I ain't never done nothing like that, and I sure ain't about to start now. And I can't remember exactly what happened, but I remember we finally got away from the table, and I did it without saying it. And she got us. She let us have it. But you see, she was starting with something that was already pretty much gone. But she was trying to turn it around. And she did the best she could. I say that to say, we don't want anybody telling us what to do. We're born with it. But you see, as a Christian, a child of God, we can't become rebellious. We can't attack, we can't fight back with people. We can't butt heads with those that we're under, that God's put us there to work for on the job, who ask us to do something on the job. Look, and I don't guess anybody in here works. I don't think you do. If you do, you're going to leave tonight. You don't work at a bar. You don't have an occupation that's evil, that's wrong, that's wicked. God gave you the job you have. You work for people that are over you. Some of them, they respect you. And they ask you to do something on the job. It's not against the word. It's not against your conscience. It's just something on the job. And if you rise up against them and attack them, this came to me today, I'm not doing that as a Christian. You need to think. Just stop and think. Because there are people around who observe you. Look, I've been on enough jobs and work stuff to see stuff, and I know how people are. and you let somebody tell somebody to do something on a job they don't like, they ain't content with just rebelling against the boss. They'll go around to the other employees and they'll start running their mouth and talking about the boss and how they don't want to do this and they ain't going to do that. And here we go. We're spreading it to everybody else. That's not a good example of Christianity. It's not. That's why you as a Christian, when somebody comes around you, when somebody starts that around you, and look, the devil will use people to try to entice you, to pull you into conversations, to get you to rebel against your boss, to get you talking about people. You have to be careful to escape it and stay out of it. Because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to draw God's people into stuff, cause us to be rebellious, to become the wrong example so other people will follow suit. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. That's on the job. I mean, that's the way we have to look at this. That we're not slaves. We don't have slave owners. I don't work for a slave. But we have people that are over us. We have people, look, we got government. They're over us, aren't they? Now, we don't submit to every single thing they come out with. We don't obey everything they tell us we should do when it violates God's word. We say, okay, here's where we part. I'm not following that. Look, morals are right. Morality is right. And if God's word says something is right and the government says it needs to be another way or they perverted or twisted, you have to back up and say, I respect you, but I'm not following that. I'm not listening to that. I'm not believing that. And I'm not practicing that. Because the devil will try to force stuff on you at the same time to get you off in the wrong direction. So there's a fine line. And even on your job, if you were asked to do something on your job that violates God's word, if you were asked to tell a lie, if you were asked to take something that didn't belong to you, if you were asked to do something that's absolutely wrong, you have to back up. It don't matter who's asking you to do it. Say, no, I'm not doing it. Because it's your testimony that Satan wants to try to ruin. He said, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. So don't do it. And when you do it, don't do it looking for favor. How many buddy-ups do we have in the world? How many buddy-ups in the church? How many people just do what they do because they want to get closer to the boss? They want to get favor. They want to be the favorite of the pick. They want to look more important than the other employees. We don't do stuff like that. We do what we do for the Lord. Everything is for Him. We don't do it looking for favor, or we don't do it as men pleasers. There it is. We're not men pleasers. We don't do it just to please people. Man, if half of the Christian world would get a hold of that principle and learn to do what they do, not to please people, but to please God, how much better would our lives be? He said, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily from your heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. If we understand that principle and we do it, things will go better on the job. Things will go better in the church. Look, the church needs to hear this too. I'm not talking about just us. I'm talking about the church world. If we could get people in local churches to learn how to step up if God has called them to do something and do what they do as unto the Lord and not as unto the other person in church, the other leader, the other this, or the other that, but as unto the Lord. You're singing as unto the Lord. You're singing as unto the Lord. Preaching as unto the Lord. Running camera as unto the Lord. Helping out, Brian, as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, anything you may do here, if you do anything, is to be done as unto, not as unto anybody in this church. Not as unto me. I mean, I don't want somebody following me around, hanging out around me all the time, wanting to do something for me just so that they can try to get my attention, wanting me to show a little more favor to them, hang out with them. Look, I don't want that. And if you do something, we appreciate it. You do something for the church or you do something for us and, you know, you just say, well, I didn't do it to help him at all. No, that ain't what I'm saying. You do it, but it's unto the Lord more than anybody. And sometimes, here's what people got to understand too. Sometimes you're going to do some things for some people and you ain't going to hear a thank you sometimes right away. And then you'll find out who you did it for. I wonder how many times we missed a thank you when God was testing us to find out whether we still were happy to do what we did, even if nobody noticed it. There's where you find out what you really are. If you're not recognized, if the name's not called, you know, this came to me the other day. Our small churches suffer more than our big churches. And here's what came to me. In the smaller churches, smaller is smaller, bigger is bigger. You take a church like Baton Rouge with thousands of people compared to this is nothing compared to that in size and the things we do, although we're getting things done for the Lord, but we got this small church here. We live stream, we do things, you know, to get the gospel out to people. And you would think that the desire to do the things of God in a small church would be just as great as it is in Baton Rouge, but it ain't. Because there's a bigger platform. There's television. Greater opportunities. People will know who I am there. You get where I'm going? Well, nobody will know who I am if I help this church. No, but the Lord knows who you are. Maybe the whole world won't know, but God knows. And let me ask you, why are you doing what you're doing? It's got to be done as unto the Lord. And I've mentioned this a while, but I've seen this. I've seen people, I know people who had the opportunity to be a part of that ministry, who got on that platform and were given an opportunity to do something, maybe preach or something, and their heads swelled up so big you could bust it with a dart. And they start thinking there's something that there ain't, and the next time you see them, they act like they don't even know you. You see, this is what we're talking about. You do it as unto the Lord. I'm not saying everybody down there is like that. They're not. I believe there's some good, humble men of God down there with them right now. I do believe that. But I know there's been some in the past and others. Some people can't handle a spotlight. They can't handle a little bit of notoriety. They can't handle a little bit of popularity. But you see, we don't do it for that. We do it as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward. Look, there's a reward coming one day. It ain't coming from Thomas. It ain't coming from Adam. It's not coming from Grace. It ain't coming from Karen. It ain't coming from Brian. It ain't coming from Lucas, Candace. It's not coming from anybody. It's coming from the Lord. Sorry, Candace, I had to pause for a second. I'm still trying to get my brain back. I hadn't forgot who you are. When I said his name, it connected yours. We do it as unto the Lord because he said, for you serve the Lord Christ. There's who we serve. So you know what I've learned in life and learning and living for the Lord and preaching the gospel and doing the things that I do, there's a lot of times I do things and nobody ever says anything about. Nobody ever says, hey, thank you. Nobody ever says, hey, man, great job. Nobody ever says, hey, great message. Sometimes I walk out here feeling like I'm a big idiot and I messed up and I preached the wrong message. I didn't do very good. And some of those times somebody will walk up to me and say, man, let me tell you, man, that was one of the most powerful messages I've ever heard you preach. And I'll say, thank you. Instead of walking out, hey, well, I am somebody. After all. You got to guard against pride. Because pride is what puffs God's people up. We don't want to fall into that. Do it as unto the Lord. He said, but he who does the wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of person. So you got a choice to do what's right or do what's wrong. On the contrary, if we rebel and we do the opposite of what Paul is admonishing us to do, we'll suffer the consequences. They'll be negative. Because sowing and reaping is a spiritual law. What you sow, you will reap. If you're prideful, you'll reap it. If you're arrogant, you'll reap it. If you're competing with other Christians, you'll reap what you sow. It'll come back to you. See, we're to be submissive. I did write this down. We're to be submissive to authority. That's what this is basically saying. Submissive to authority. Everyone is under some authority somewhere. Everybody. Imagine if we all walked out here and I said, I ain't obeying anything. I ain't listening to anybody. Forget that speed limit sign. Whip! You know, there are some other countries on the other side of the world, and they don't even have speed limit signs. In some of those places, you can run wide open. I'd like to go visit one of them one day, Chris is saying. But it'd be legal. Can I come back over and ride four-wheeler? Can I pop a wheelie? Oh. So everybody's under authority. And I'm going to go through this one, leading up to where we were already, just to back up. Wives are to husbands. Paul talked about that. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Not in a bow down dictator type way. Submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. See, it goes both ways. And children are to be submissive to their parents. Want me to get them? Children are to be submissive to your parents because it's in a way it's symbolic of your relationship to God. You're submissive to the Lord. They tell you what to do because they love you. They want you to do right. Your mom and daddy, trust me, mom and daddy love your kids. They're not being mean to you. They just want you to do what's right. They see this world, dark world we're living in. They see these other kids, these families destroyed. They see alcohol. They see drugs. They don't want you going down that path. Be submissive to your parents. Listen to them. Servants are submissive to their masters. I've already been there. All of us are submissive to civil government, law enforcement. So we see here that we're all under authority. So if we understand the message of the cross and we're applying it to our heart and life, this is what it produces. Submissiveness. Not rebellion. It changes us. It brings us. We don't live in chaos. We don't go out and protest the first time something goes wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with protesting, but I've seen enough protests from some people and Christians getting involved in stuff, and I thought, well, I don't know what they're thinking, but you're acting like a fool because you can take it too far. I mean, you can become even rebellious in that manner and make a fool out of yourself. There's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way. Use wisdom. Use knowledge is the best thing I can tell you. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Adam, would you come and pray in closing if you don't mind, please?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, God. We thank you, God, for this service tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word. God, we thank you for your word, Lord Jesus, the holy word of God, the holy Bible, that we can study and learn from you, Lord Jesus. We pray for each and every person that we will walk in love and truth and that we will be obedient on the job and in this church and in our families and that we will be good to other people, Lord Jesus, that we will love others. And in doing that, Lord Jesus, we will be a witness for you, that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ with the ultimate goal of bringing more people into the kingdom in these last of the last days. Lord Jesus, please be with us and be with your people the rest of this week and bring us back safely on Sunday morning. We love you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.